Public schools in Colorado continue to grapple with an ever-widening gap in state funding. Many have turned to voters to make up the shortfall through increases in local mill levies. This is the formula that calculates how much property taxes people pay. To better understand the patchwork of state and local funding, KUNC's Anne Maria Wadd spoke with Tracy Rainey, director of the Colorado School Finance Project, a nonpartisan group that researches school funding.
So we saw 14 mill levy overrides passed during this election. And before we get into the nitty-gritty, explain in layman's terms what a mill levy override is.
A mill levy override is asking a local community to raise their taxes in their community to support a school district's opportunity to obtain additional dollars. So it's up and beyond what the dollars are that come in from the state through the School Finance Act.
Is that the only option for a lot of school districts in Colorado to raise additional money?
Yes, it is.
When you were going through all the bond and mill levy overrides that were approved and the ones that failed, was there a common theme that you were noticing in terms of what school districts said that they needed help paying for?
You were looking at making up shortfalls. It wasn't as though you were able to add back something to the level that you had 10 years ago. Nobody was able to ask for the type of dollars of what an adequately funded education would be. It was really trying to prevent additional loss of programs, teachers for school districts.
The Colorado School Finance Project put out a report basically saying that those mill levy overrides are not exactly a reliable source of income for school districts. Can you explain why?
School districts are asking their communities in many times for a dollar amount. And that dollar amount that you ask for loses value over time because it's not something that grows with the cost of either inflation or the cost associated with providing those services.
What does that mean for districts who went to voters making those promises?
Well, if they made the promise that they'll raise a certain dollar amount, then the mill levy will be adjusted always to raise that dollar amount. If they went to voters and said, we're going to ask you to raise your mills up to a certain mill levy rate, that meant then they are willing to have the dollars fluctuate every year.
One thing I've been wondering about is what this election means for districts that had funding measures that were rejected by voters. Where does this leave them?
From what I'm understanding, in most of those districts, they're beginning to talk about making budget reductions, and they're also now waiting to see what the state is looking at for this next year in regards to funding for schools.
There are proposals being discussed down at the State House to fix this system or improve it. Republican Representative Bob Rankin has discussed a constitutional amendment that would equalize mill levies across the state as a way to tackle funding discrepancies between districts, and that would have to go to voters. Republican Representative Jim Wilson has also discussed asking the voters to approve a tax. Which one of these do you think would be the better solution?
There's not a policy to react to at this point. They haven't submitted something for people to look at. So once something's submitted, I'm sure they'll get lots of comments. But I'm just grateful that they're both talking about it.
That was Tracy Rainey, director of the Colorado School Finance Project. For KUNC, I'm Anne Marie Awad.